Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Ooh, this is a different part.
I was gonna say, like, me too. As a wait,
no, you know
minute.
What? We never actually get to this part of the song, and it's pretty cool.
Well, we did have an episode where the engineer played it longer.
Oh, you're so right. It actually,
and yeah. We just played it in the background. You can keep it going. It's all good. We like it.
All right. Well, welcome, guys, to our recap of episode 9, Safe Hold, for your favorite show on AfterBuzz TV, The Shannara Chronicles. Woo-hoo. On MTV. But we're on AfterBuzz TV. Just saying. But yeah, so who's joining me today? We are missing our OG. What? She always abandons us, and I know, Heather, you're watching. But anyway, aside from missing our lovely Heather G, who do I have today? We have a new one. We have a new victim. No, I'm kidding.
Well, hey guys, I'm Veronica Gabriel. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Veronica on TV.
Woohoo. Hey guys, Carrie Lane here. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane, and I just kind of wanted to lean over at the beginning and show you my shirt. It's Khaleesi riding toothless.
It's excellent. So
cool. Anyways, I'm very excited to wear my fantasy shirt for my fantasy show.
I love it. Okay, and I'm Maria Cavasudo, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Maria Cavasudo. I changed my handle because I needed my actual name in there. Otherwise, it was too confusing. But Snapchat, still MGCVSST, because those darn Snapchats won't let me, you know, change my thing. But anyway. So yeah, just to start off at the top, I'm going to remind you guys, like, comment on YouTube. We love your YouTube comments. Tweet at us. Talk to us. Whatever you want. We want to know how you feel about the episode, about us. Like, whatever you guys want. We are very, very open. And thank you, everyone, for giving us, like, feedback and talking to us about parts that we don't know about the show because we haven't read the books. Because we're just doing it about the show. However, let's get started.
Sounds good.
Okay, I'm going to get worked up.
I was going to say, you're like doing a crazy workout.
I know, I have to.
You're just so excited.
I'm just so excited. This was such a cool episode for our company. Yeah. So for Will and Eritrea and Amberlee. So we start off, and they're going straight into that tunnel. Right?
I like that San Francisco sign.
I was like, you could see that it said San Francisco. Yes. And then Will's like, Sif.
You're like, sure.
I'm like, sure. That's opportune. So they go into this kind of. I thought it was a subway, but I don't know. Did it look like a subway?
I think it's a subway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
Some sort. I could have sworn I thought San Francisco has a subway, and I thought I've ridden on it, but I'm not sure now. I'm like, it's the BART. I remember that.
Yeah, they do.
And we do have subways in LA, which most people don't really realize.
No, I know the Metro is actually like a thing here, and we have it surface level and under the ground, which is very interesting. just very interesting. But anyway, so we have our people going through a tunnel, and kind of right off the bat, I mean, this is just something that I thought was super interesting, that like the girls on this show are so strong.
Yeah.
Because Will's like, I think Amberlee was like, no, I'll go alone. And I was like, all right, okay. Like, I feel
she's
you.
Like, I got this.
She can take
However,
care of herself.
I love that totally. Be back in exactly 5 minutes. I don't know about you, but they don't have watches. And like, I have no internal clock. Like, I have no sense of 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour. I'll just be like, oh crap, it's like 5 hours later than I planned or something like that.
And so I just see there.
They're like, yeah, I'll be back in 5 minutes. So I was just wondering, like, how are they timing that?
I know, that was kind of funny. But either way, Amberlee kind of runs into. Oh, okay, so we have some information here. The central subway.
Does that go under? It is underground subway. Because I think it goes underwater, too.
Well, so it's.
Like the BART underwater? Goes underwater.
The central subway is an extension
from,
of the.
Like the. Because you know, there's different parts of San Francisco, so you can go underwater and get in.
Oh, wow.
We're going to go with that. We're going to go with it.
Sure, I think so. Because I remember my ears hurting. I don't know.
Carrie had an unfortunate experience. But I know what you're talking about. The ears do hurt when you, under the pressure, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I feel like the same thing in the mountains too.
Yeah.
Through the mountains,
helicopters too. Pop.
Yeah. Anywhere where there's pressure, you feel it on the ears. It's kind of unpleasant.
Anyway.
But what's also unpleasant is that Amberlee runs into a bunch of sleeping trolls.
I like that she's like, keeps walking. I'm like, no. Turn around. Yeah. Turn around.
I would. Hey
guys, check this out.
Yeah. She's like, hey, you guys, we got. I don't know. Is that like the only way? I guess when they see the tattoo.
Yeah, that's when they see the symbol on the wall. This is the way.
Yeah, and that's when I'm like, wow, Eritrea must be much more important than I thought she was. Because
why she ditched the jacket? That was the weirdest disrobing of a garment that I was like, where'd her jacket go? Yeah. Well, we need to show the tattoo. I get that. But, like, tie it around her waist. I thought she was going to use it to climb. And then she just takes it off and throws it away, essentially. It made no sense. It was so weird. I'm like, why did she get rid of her jacket?
Yeah, I definitely thought that she was going to, like, throw it over the bar and, like, shimmy scoot across.
No. I feel like that would have been really noisy, though. Because, you know, if there was any kind of buttons or anything, it would have totally, like, you know, I don't know.
That's a good point.
But
I'm glad it didn't fall. I was waiting for that, too. I'm like, all three are going to get on, and it's going to fall.
No. I actually, you know what I thought? I was like, all three of them are going to get on, and somebody's, either Amberlee's sword is going to fall on these three.
I thought the sword.
Right?
It was, like, hanging there. It looked like it was coming down.
Absolutely.
It wasn't kinda, the girls.
But it wasn't the girls. It's, of course, Will and his little pouch. I just like, of course, out of all the people that this can happen, it's literally, it has to be Will.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully.
I was actually hoping he'd, like, ninja it and catch it before it fell.
Yeah, I thought that, too.
No, he's not that cool.
No, he's
like, that's giving him way too much credit.
No, on top of that, I feel like the way he was reaching down, it wasn't with his, like, you know, I guess with his right arm where it would have been like, oh, hey, I think he was, like, doing something really strange, like crossing his left.
Awkward, yeah.
I'm like, that doesn't look comfortable. That doesn't look good at all.
And I thought that, like, with the troll sleeping, he was right in front of his face. Like, couldn't he, can they smell? I thought they could smell humans. Or, I mean...
They have the mask on, though.
Oh, true.
Yeah. But, I mean...
He was right in front of his face.
But you are right, Veronica. It's like I feel like they smell, especially, like, elves, you know? And Will is a half-elf, so it's just, like... I know. I was expecting... I actually thought they could have, like, done something fun with that scene, and I don't think that happened.
They could have done the wake up, look around, and fall back asleep gag.
Yeah, and then we're all like... Oh my gosh, what's going to happen?
But they make it out safely, so you're like, oh, cool.
They do make it out safely, so that's kind of cool. And then they find themselves in this chamber. This is kind of where we start getting into, like, the more of, like, the heading to the blood fire type deal. There's all these, like, cool things in that chamber. More of, more of Eritrea's tattoos. But then they come across this thing of, like, well, actually, no, let me go back for a second. So when Will and Eritrea are alone, he chooses the moment when they're alone in the tunnel to apologize to her.
Sure.
Is that classic Will?
Is very that, Will.
Is that just too Will? Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry about that.
I thought it was like, of course, you know, Will would do this kind of thing. But it's kind of nice, you know, because you know what? I don't know if you guys think the same thing. Tell me if you do. But her tattoo and seeing her tattoo, like, on the wall for Eritrea is almost like, oh, I belong to something, like, bigger.
Yeah.
Sure. And then once she starts feeling it and stuff, she's... like, I know. Is this what the stones feel like? Mm-hmm. The magic of it?
Especially when she was standing there and then her eyes go white and you know that she's meant to be there for a bigger purpose.
Yeah. Tattoo roadmap.
Tattoo roadmap is for sure. But so that's actually what happens in this kind of weird chamber thing. They come across this book that says, I have it written down.
I was going to say, that weird
it
word.
It says, Fili Apocalypse, Fili. Which later on we find out is Children of the Armageddon. Which is kind of weird. I guess I don't really know, like, necessarily what that is. But when Eritrea sees the bloodfire symbol on the wall, she has this vision of, like, the bloodfire, and then she does go kind of white, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she gets the map. How convenient, right? It's just like, how convenient.
On your arm.
Well, I like that it's essentially burned in her skin, and she's kind of like, ow, and then it's like, oh, no, I'm good. Because it looked like it was cutting or something, too. Yeah. Like, almost, like, burning into her flesh. And then, like, 2 seconds later, it's healed. And she's like, oh, no, it's cool. I know where to go, guys. Because, of course, I can look at my shoulder.
No, and of course, it's clear. It's a clear map. Yes. Like, there is no way to confuse that.
Yeah. It doesn't have a you are here. So, I don't know where to start.
That is so hilarious. That's yeah, it's just all of a sudden it's like, oh, the pieces come together. Hey, I know what I'm doing.
Yep.
For once. No,
well, maybe it's important for her because she finally has a bit more to add to the group before she was, I mean, she fights, yes, but she hasn't had a, no, really, this is the only thing I can bring. You guys can't do anything about this. And I have this special ability now. So.
Yeah. Because before, she was only seen there in the vision, so that's how you knew she was there, but, or supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Till now.
That's a really good point. I think that makes perfect sense, because that's how I felt about her in this episode. I'm like, this girl finally feels like, I don't know, I saw her, like, more excited than pretty much everybody else in the episode, and she's, like, so gung-ho, and she's, like, the first one up, like, you know, the ladder, or that, those little, you know, yeah, like, a little ladder that they have in there inside the tunnel. She's, like, the first one to go up, and I'm like, man, this girl is, like, really taking charge, but I guess it is kind of like that. Yeah. She has a lot to offer right now. This is, like, again, it's kind of that sense of belonging that I think she just hasn't been feeling this whole season, or her life, you know?
I just noticed you guys are nails twinsies, sort of.
Don't look at mine. Mine are chipped, which is not how I like to have them.
I just all hide them underneath my seat.
So anyway, we know that her tattoo burns and reveals a map, and she gets very like you said, you guys. It's just she can feel it now. She actually wonders if that's the same way that like Will feels about the elf stones.
I feel like I'm invincible, right?
Something like that. Yeah. She says, I feel invincible, and I was like, that's very interesting. Just considering what happens, you know, later, which we'll get to. But then here literally was my favorite part, I think, of the episode. Mm-hmm. Even though at sometimes I was like, oh, I'm not sure if I like how this looks, but whatever. So they arrive at this kind of like old church thing.
Did it look like a church? I thought it was church. They had pews. They had a stained glass window.
And the statue.
And the statues. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. There's like a statue of like, you know, a virgin with like, you know, baby. So
it's probably a Catholic church. Yeah.
Something like that. Exactly. In San Francisco, I guess. Or under in the subway system. That would be very interesting.
I think they've come above ground at that point.
Oh, because they climbed the ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so now they're no longer underneath. But so
they could be in Oakland for all we know.
They could be. But then so there's this like weird receptor thingy that's all, you know, it looks so much like the seed.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Which I love that somebody made a comment on, I think, YouTube, and then you picked up on it, that someone's like, where is it? Because remember the last time we actually physically saw it, like visually saw it, she's putting it in her horse's little pouch. Like the
poucheroo,
And that's the last time we really saw it. Because we talked about, like, you would put that on your person, like, attached to you.
I've been wondering.
But they haven't had it. Even in this episode, nobody takes it out, right?
Yeah, they haven't done anything with it.
I was wondering this whole time, like, where is it? Where is it? Yeah. Because she's getting attacked and she's, like, running and jogging. Like,
she's taking her clothes off a little bit. You know,
that is a good point with Sir Will. But, totally a good point. Like, and somebody did point this out because, I mean, seriously, where is it?
Yeah.
And for all she knows, it could have fallen and she's, like, no idea. And she could not even have it. You know what I mean? Yeah. For all we know, she could just be like, oh, I don't have it, but I'm not going to tell anyone.
And they make it out to be so important. And it's like, well, where is it now?
Yeah. So that is a great point. But then, so there's this like receptor thingy that looks kind of like the seed in a way. And then they kind of find out that they're in the right place because the stained glass window is kind of like, and this light shines on the ground, which I mean, could be like the sun shining through the stained glass window. I'm not sure. But then we have these really interesting creatures. I'm going to call them creatures. They're the guardians of the Bloodfire.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think of those guardians?
I liked them. They were cool.
I was surprised that they were there because at first I'm thinking they're demons, like just trying to trick them. I had no idea what they were, that they were actually really guardians, you know?
It was an interesting dynamic to have them be kind of evil protecting this thing. Because they just were bored that they want to mess with people, kind of an idea as well.
Yeah.
Like, here, let's pit people against each other.
Yeah.
I like the visual, though, of how they, like, floated, how their faces changed, how they would be seen talking or not talking. It visually looked very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think visually it looked a super awesome, and it actually reminded me, again, I reference Lord of the Rings and Legend of Zelda for, like, Ocarina of Time in this, in our After Buzz recaps and after show way too often. But it literally reminds me of the witch sisters, Kotake and Koume, that are in the spirit temple. And the only reason I'm getting specific is because I love that show so much. So I was just like, this is, it's kind of cool. They're just kind of, like, floating and kind of, like, taunting them a little bit. Mm. And I did find it interesting, too, that they are kind of, like, evil. I didn't know if they were, like, witches. I think Al Goh, the one of the executive producers, said, like, the witches are here for this episode. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if that's necessarily, like...
Will refers to them, I think, as witches as well.
Okay. Okay, so...
But they didn't really seem like they're human anymore.
Yeah, they seemed more like...
Like ghost type
things. Yeah, I felt they were more like a ghost.
Yeah, more spirit-based.
Which could be an evil guardian, if you look at it that way, that if they're ghosts.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't... Let me ask you guys about this, because at some point I was like, okay, maybe they're, like, demons sent from, like, you know, the Dagnamore.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's what you were thinking. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because right before that, you see the leaf fall off the tree, and that's why I'm thinking, like, oh, maybe that's them, but I guess they were just guardians.
Okay. That's a good point. I didn't remember that the leaf falls off, like, right before that. But, yeah,
the
that's how I thought.
The last leaf falls.
We will get to that finally. But so, Carrie, you didn't think that they were like that.
I just felt they were part of the temple, but it kind of seemed like, why bother having a guardian? Like, what... It does. How many people really know where the Bloodfire is, know where it is, are going to bother to go there, that it really needs a guardian?
Yes. True. That is such a good point.
So are these witches, like, hanging out, like, dude, nobody's come here in so long. Oh, good. And we have someone to torment.
We're just going to mess with them horribly because we've done nothing for 300 years, or how many years they've been in there. Thousands of years.
Yes, people would have to get through the trolls first before they even make it to them.
Yeah. So it's not very likely that somebody would have made it there.
There were no bodies in there, though, either.
There's no bodies in there either. And you know what? So the guy in the previous episode, the one that had, like, the melted face, Hamel, I'm wondering, like, how far he got. And, like, where did he get his face? Unless maybe he also reached the
Bloodfire? Well, because the other people died, they said, as well. They said everybody who went there died.
Yeah.
Well, they could have died by the trolls, or those things made them kill each other.
Yeah. I mean,
that's possible.
The possibilities are...
We don't know.
...are endless. But
no bodies.
But we do not know. But then, so what these guardians start doing is that they kind of start talking to each of the characters a little bit individually, and, like, in the way that, like, the other characters can't hear. So it's a very, like, one-on-one situation. And they start trying to, like, manipulate them and pitting them against each other, which is horrible because they start picking at, like, poor Eritrea, like, you know, and also Will, like, oh, you're, like, halfling or whatever they say to him. And the same thing with Amberlee. But then all this kind of happens, and it's all very, like, you know, all of a sudden, but I didn't actually think that Eritrea would, like, succumb a little bit because she attacks Amberlee.
I was just going to say, I'm like, apparently she didn't read the Four Agreements. if you guys haven't read that book, it's a really good book. But I think she's just had, she takes it so personally because she has, it's one of those, even if those characters didn't mean it, it means so much to her that she automatically, it's internalized, it's personal, and she breaks. Not that I feel she's weak, but it's just, she's had so much built up already that she has, it's so easy for her to fall.
Yeah.
But I was a bit surprised. And then I was surprised by how quickly Amberlee was like, oh, yeah, well, and I'm like, catfight.
Well, exactly. That's why I was like, wait.
Will's like, whoa, girls.
But at the same time, it is like, I feel like it's just the guardians, you know, manipulating the girls. But I didn't actually think that Eritrea would actually try to attack Amberlee because she kind of does. And obviously Will kind of say, well, I think she deflects it, whatever she throws at her to flex it. And then, like, Will ends up cutting Eritrea's hand.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then by some strange force of gravity, the blood that's coming out of her hand
that
just,
thing,
like,
pulls it in.
Yeah, that thing. So with that receptor thing that kind of looks like the seed starts pulling it in. So
I didn't actually think or notice that it looked like the seed until you guys pointed it out. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I didn't think about the seed as much, but I did also, I was going to say real quick, I liked how the witches were telling Will, like, which one are you going to choose, elf or human?
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it that way, because I'm like, oh, yeah, because he's half and half.
Yeah.
Oh, which one?
What? Yeah. That is so good. Thank you for pointing that out. I was going to say
that, because,
it's an interesting way to think of it. It's one of those, like, it's so simple that you go, oh yeah, duh, because yeah, he's half and half, and which side will prevail, right?
Yeah. That's actually very cool. I didn't.
Or someone on YouTube's like, why can't we have the threesome or something like that?
Yeah, someone someone on YouTube keeps wanting a threesome here, and I don't think it's gonna happen.
I don't think MTV. Well,
no. I just don't think it's gonna happen. The story. I don't put it past MTV.
That'll be in the fan fiction later.
I'm surprised. This is totally off topic, but I'm surprised that Bannon got a little sexual there.
Wait, we'll get to Bannon. I mean, he's had more action probably than a lot of the people, but we'll get to Bannon in a second.
Totally called it on him, by the way, which we'll...
You did. Okay, Carrie had some good predictions last week. We'll come back. We'll come full circle.
But yes, receptacle thing.
Yeah, receptacle thing, and then Eritrea ends up like...
needle through the hand.
The needle through the hand was horrible. But... I don't know. Do you guys have any idea maybe what Child of the Armageddon means?
Well, I was thinking about what Armageddon they're referring to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there could be multiples. And, like, is that Armageddon necessarily bad? Who is that bad for?
Yeah.
Because it could be bad for the witches. Because they were the ones who were like, no, no, stop. But maybe the Armageddon would be good for the four lands of bringing everything back to more balance or something like that.
Yeah.
Actually, my thing I was thinking about the whole time, where I'm like, well, technically you have about 8 pints of blood in you and you could lose about 3 to 4 and probably not die.
So while Eritrea is like literally bleeding out, you know, Carrie's like, how much would it take her to survive? How much do you think she can take?
And the thing is too, a pint of blood, if you like spilled it on the floor, looks like a lot. Not that I've done that, but it looks like...
Have you, though? No, I'm kidding.
No, I've donated blood. So I'm like, yeah, well, and then they talked about that. They're like, yeah, this is only a pint, but if you, like, spilled it, it looks like a lot. So then I was curious of how much it needs. But then again, if her body and her blood are the key, I feel that she kind of has forfeited who she is a little bit. Her life a little bit.
That's an amazing point. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Waiting for Will and those stones, though. I was like, come on. He's Mr. I'm going to heal and protect everybody.
I know.
That's going to be in the next episode.
I know. But so literally as she puts her hand there and like they're having this conversation and Amberlee's trying to. So the Bloodfire appears literally right behind like Eritrea, like in the back. Right. And she's getting sucked dry, literally like sucked dry. Like she's getting the blood taken out of her. And Will and Amberlee are kind of taking a little bit more of their time. You know, Amberlee more so.
She should have ran sooner. He's like, go when I'm distracting them. And he's like, you haven't gone yet.
Keep going.
Exactly. And keep going. Hello.
And then he was distracted. That's why the other witch got closer.
Yeah, exactly.
But did you think that the blood fire was actually going to be fire when she puts her hand on the blood? Because I had no idea what blood fire meant.
I guess that's very literal. Yeah. I mean, blood, fire.
And then she has to run to it. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, but it's not like a real fire because she didn't.
I felt it was more an energy thing. Yeah,
okay.
Energy field. Because she does disappear.
She does. She does.
I don't think it's fire because she does walk into it and is not like, ow, I'm being burned.
That's true. Well, that's what I was thinking. I was just like, okay, well, maybe it's more of like a, like you said, energy. I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah. And Will actually.
Magic.
It's magic. It's something super, super metaphysical. I don't know. But Will gets to use those elf stones again.
Woo-hoo.
And he actually has some control over them because, you know...
He doesn't say a stupid line this time.
Why don't you just die? Yeah, no, he doesn't use that. He just looks very, you know, intensely...
perturbed.
He knows what he's doing this time.
A little bit. And it's also like he had told Cephalo, it's not just like I can, you know, whip them out. Sorry. Just kind of whip them out.
We make jokes like that on the show, or at least I laugh, and then it's like, ha ha!
He, you know, takes them out, and he can't just take them out and be like, oh, here, I'm going to use them. They have, like, this whole kind of, like, thing through his body. It's like this reaction, almost. So this is, like, the perfect example of, like, that reaction. I mean, like, Eritrea is being sucked dry. Amberlee is getting, you know... sucked into another dimension.
Consumed.
Consumed
and then, by fire.
Exactly. And so this process...
Trial by fire.
That's good. And so this process can actually happen. Will, you know, takes up and defeats these two guardians of the blood fire. Amberlee disappears. I don't know where she's gone to.
I wonder what it is because they mentioned it's so powerful. And I don't think we had taught... Had the show ever mentioned what... blood fire is specifically I mean I know you just mentioned like blood and fire so I wonder what it is because the witches were like it's so powerful why do you think you deserve it and so I had actually thought which maybe will happen in the next episode And it's this is not a prediction because this is just what I was expecting while I was watching it, and then it didn't happen. So I'm like, just kidding.
Never mind.
I was thinking when they came back to the Elkreese, fire, the blood fire would rain down, and then she would appear, and it would burn it and make it a new one, and she'd be standing there. I just had that visual. I'm like, they're all looking up, and I'm like, I'm waiting for it to come down, destroy the tree, new tree, and then she'd be there. And then I was like, would she have clothes or no clothes? No, she'd have no clothes because it'd be fire. And she'd just be like, wham, I'm back.
I feel like you thought so much into this and how it was going to happen. I did not think that far.
Oh, no, me either. I'm just like, oh, no, where did she go? Actually, the whole time, I'm going to be very honest, I was actually thinking of poor Eritrea because I'm like, that girl's losing so much blood. She's not going to make it. And it looks like, to be honest, after, you know, Amberlee's disappeared, Will kind of is like, Amberlee, you know, and it's like, right, Eritrea starts talking to her. Eritrea doesn't answer. Eritrea is like...
And it's possible she's not dead yet. Because you say it twice to mean it. because, like, if you're losing that much blood, too, your pulse could just be so slow. It's not like he knows to check for your pulse or whatever. But she could be...
Just, like...
The fringes, you know, the frail. Yeah. Almost gone.
You know, although I will say, like, I kind of think... The thing is, it's like she's obviously a main character, so it's like,
I don't think she's gonna die.
I don't think she's gonna die either, but at the same time, I'm like, exactly, not yet. But at the same time, I'm thinking, like, well, she's not really part of the books. They created this kind of like role. She is part of the books, but it's like not the same. So they created this kind of role that's very important to the central like story.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, is it like, you know, can they just dispose of it really easily? Or is her purpose solely for this kind of opening up the blood fire? I'm going to say it that way.
I don't know. The way people have died off on this show, I feel their deaths are a bit more like, we know they died.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel this is a little too vague for it to be the death. If that was the death, it'd be almost kind of like...
A little anticlimactic.
It'd be anticlimactic if we come back to it.
Okay.
And I feel like with MTV series, even when they kill off people, they always come back in some sort of way. So even if she is dead, maybe she'll come back.
I think we'll... Yeah, there we go. We'll talk about that in predictions.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. I mean, I feel like with the parameters of this world, you can kind of play around. You can kind of do a little bit of whatever you want. But, okay, that's pretty much what happens with Will, Eritrea, and Amberlee.
The company.
As we call them, the company. is there anything else that you guys want to add before I move on to... some of the other fun stuff?
No.
I think
that tattoo.
All right. Yeah. Just, you know, we have a problem with the tattoo, guys. It's just not, believable.
You know, another thing, too, because we had talked about it in so many other episodes, the hair has been slightly disappointing lately.
Oh, well.
We've talked about how great their hair is.
But you know,
they've been busy, but still. But Eritrea started doing a rap thing, which looked cool.
Yeah. I've seen
that. Like, they did the braid, and they're kind of wrapping it and stuff.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed the hair.
They have amazing hair earlier on, so.
Oh, I guess I never paid attention to that much.
Yeah, we actually started off.
It's functional and pretty.
we literally started off our AfterBuzz, like, after shows by talking about that, because it literally was like, we were all so, like, impressed by it. It's so beautiful.
Come on, her bathtub hair, remember?
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about the bathtub hair, too.
Oh, that's right. But also,
that's
so
how
not.
I look when I get my hair done in the bathtub. It's like, what?
I prep that much. Yeah. I think I was like, I even said, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I don't wear a shower cap. That's not what I do. Like, I wear my hair like that. No, shower cap all the way.
I always wonder, do they smell? Because they're, like, sweating so much as they're running through the woods and fighting people. Like, we've seen, like, how many baths? Maybe one.
Just one.
It's fantasy world. Everybody smells.
And also Will by the river.
Ooh, if she's the princess, they probably have some scented oils, and that's about it.
Yeah. Also, I'm glad that it's not, like a 3D experience, 4D experience, sorry, where you're like have those scents coming through the
scratch
TV
card.
Or whatever. No, thank you.
I don't need to know.
No, thank you. But, all right, let's move on. So, Bandon has a very, very kind of like large role in this episode.
Yeah.
Called it.
She called it.
What did you say?
I was like, I don't think, because when we first see him, when he wakes up, he's just like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. If he was all him, he'd be like, holy macro, I went through so much and I feel so drained right now. And he's like, I'm good. So I'm like, no, I think the Dagmar still has hold on him. And I wasn't sure if it'd be an active thing or if it'd be subconscious, but it is a mix of both.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was disappointed. I was like, oh, this is totally gonna happen. Then as soon as I'm watching, I'm like sitting there like, stupid kid. And I wanted Al-Anon to kill him, actually.
You did?
I did.
What?
Carrie? When they had the, like, when he has the staff, I was waiting for the, he had a look, Al-Anon had a look that he'd be like, damn, I don't want to, but I think I have to.
Yeah.
Or at least completely subdue him.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
And no, that's not what he did to him. Because I'm thinking he's dead, but then because he's like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, Al-Anon says, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But I guess he's not dead then.
Oh, no, no, no. I was saying I wanted him to.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Well, you know, I mean,
I don't know if he can be saved. I want him to be. But.
I mean, I feel like the only way that he can be saved now is if the Dagdemore is out of the picture, because the Dagdemore has like
the hold on him.
Totally the hold on him.
But wouldn't that be a creature too that possibly after he dies he could still have like claws in a little bit?
You mean like so after,
or at least Bandon's gonna feel like crap.
So you
later.
Mean so you mean kind of like in Lord of the Rings where like Sauron is still like. Still like he present.
Did, sorry. He did so much while he was still trapped, so he might be able to do something even after he dies. Maybe. Okay. Or at least Bandon's going to feel so bad later. Because right now, obviously, he doesn't feel bad about what happens in this episode. But I would think later he'd be like, I am so sorry.
I am so sorry, guys.
Just like that. He'd say, just like that. But we can move forward with them.
Anyway. No, yeah, totally. I mean, Bandon has these visions where he kind of confirms that Amberlee's still alive, right?
Weak-willed.
Very weak-willed. And he's getting trained by Al-Anon, right?
Yep.
But all just in that... kind of in that training stuff. I mean, Al-Anon wants him to be strong against the Dagdemore, but we all obviously see that he's still taken over by the Dagdemore because he starts kind of like turning on him a little bit. And then we see it a little bit more when Ander. Anyway, when he kind of like fights Ander because Ander's training like the people in you know, his army and whatnot, making sure kind of like everyone's on the same level. And he gets
his ass whooped.
Yeah. And like Al-Anon has to step in. And it's kind of concerning, to be honest, that like Ander would not be able, you know what I mean?
I was thinking that. I'm like, wow, he's really not that good of a fighter.
Yeah. Unless maybe he let his guard down because he's like, oh, it's Bandon. It's some kid who doesn't know how to fight.
Well, I think he would have put it up because he goes, wow, you're stronger than you look. I think he then would have been a bit like, it would have been better for him to save face if he just stumbled backwards and not fell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. But, I agree with you there.
He's had a lot of stress in his life, so maybe he's just not up to par.
Yeah, and we'll kind of get to what he's dealing with in a second, but I mean it's a lot to take on.
Yeah.
But so Al-Anon kind of like intervened, thankfully, because he almost was getting out of hand.
The boy doesn't know what he's doing.
Not himself.
Yeah.
Not himself right now.
But then, so Bandon actually has a very like kind of sexual scene. Well, sexy scene, sexual scene. I don't know.
Sexily sexual.
kind of like a very steamy-ish.
It was good at the start, and then you're like, oh, this is getting creepy.
It got creepy.
It got rapey really fast.
It got
but
horrible
she
really
was
fast.
Like liking it.
That's what she's like. Well, that went a little 0 to 60. That was like, oh,
well, she doesn't know that he's like possessed by this like evil being, you know. So she's just kind of taking
nothing
it, like,
to like.
Well, she probably just thought like, oh, he takes charge, you know, because he's kind of sheepish. Yeah, he's kind of like reserved for the most part, and then all of a sudden he's like jumping
she's
on
like,
her.
Oh, hey.
She's like, oh, hey, I like a man who knows how to take charge. but so he actually kind of confesses to her like what's kind of going on, that he feels like a pawn, and he still feels like the Dagdemore is inside his head, you know.
Which, guess what? You should be telling that to Al-Anon.
Yes, you should. Exactly.
Yeah.
But Al-Anon, let's be real. Like, Al-Anon totally knows.
Yes.
You know, totally. I think he sensed it at the beginning. And then
I sensed it. Al-Anon, I hope you do.
Yeah, I mean, if Carrie senses it, Al-Anon should definitely be sensing it. So when they kiss, you know what really grossed me out? The vision that he has of, Katanya being licked by the dead.
It was disgusting.
No, what's even creepier is that he kisses her after, because then I'm like, that means he's thinking about it.
Yeah.
And still,
But then is he thinking about it in the sense that, like, he as Bandon, or is it the Dagdemore thing?
No. Exactly. I think he's like, trapped in the back.
Yeah. Okay. So then things really do kind of get out of hand in such a way that Bandon tries to strangle her.
Apparently it's not a thing she's into.
No, she was into the...
They didn't
like
have a safe word.
Safe word. Apparently it was very, it was good until it got too good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I actually didn't think she was going to get away. I'm like, this girl is done here.
Yeah, I thought she was going to die too.
I thought she was going to die.
Right?
I was glad she got away.
Yeah, me too. Because then it's like, I mean, we have to stop this at some point. You know, it can't just be like all the time, like, you know, death and strangle this and that. There's got to be like something else.
Yeah.
But
Al-Anon ends up telling Bandon that, you know, the Dagdemore exploits weaknesses like him, you know, liking Catania. Mm-hmm. And they actually square off a little bit. And I'm like, Bandon, not gonna happen. Like, you know, you might get one blow, you know, one hit. But then, let's be real, Al-Anon is just, like, so good.
It's a staff
down.
Did
you think that was really him talking, though, or the Dagdemore?
No, it's all Dagdemore. I think we've seen maybe a minute of Bandon.
10% abandoned right now.
Because I thought his character was more, like, reserved and...
Yeah.
We're not gonna see him get too intense, but now,
yeah,
yeah.
Actually, that's the other thing. When he kisses her so soon, he before didn't even want to touch her. So I feel he's like, but 5-10% of him is there.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to point out. I mean, he literally just like makes out with her, and I mean, there's nothing there that's like, you know, weird.
Yeah.
So I think it's mostly Dagdemore.
Oh yeah.
But I'm glad that, you know, Al-Anon manages to kind of knock him out, and that's kind of like the end we see of Balanon. Whatever, sorry, Bandon and Al-Anon. Is there anything else you guys want to kind of like wrap up with on Bandon before I like move on to the other?
I didn't know he had muscles. Like, did you see
what his were you arm looking up? At, girl?
His arm
what
muscle? You? I'm getting out of hand here.
His arm she literally muscles. Just hit her mic, you guys. Like, she's like, whoa, too much.
It's too much for me. But yeah, no, you didn't notice
when
that?
He takes his shirt off. Oh, I like that she took his shirt off and her clothes never came off.
Very good. Thank you, MTV, for this.
We're gonna make Please the men naked, again. Ladies. You know.
No, I didn't.
But we did. Wait, did we? Yeah, equal opportunity. Oh, that was on another one of my shows.
Oh, okay.
On The Magicians, we're like, most of the, that when we were talking about equal opportunity nudity, I feel MTV, oh, because I was talking about this one, like, yeah, mainly it's just the dudes who get their shirts off. The ladies keep their clothes on mostly, but I'm all equal opportunity. If we're going to make one take their clothes off, you know, both got to be equal.
Yeah, but I think in this situation it kind of works. It was just kind of starting, and then all of a sudden things got kind of out of hand. Yeah. But, I mean, he does have muscles, and then so does Ander, which we're going to talk about now. That's my segue into Ander. Yes. So Ander has this, like...
His butt looks so good.
What are you looking at?
You know what? I noticed. Yeah, what are you looking at, Carrie?
When he had his arms up in the prison, I was like, his butt looks really good.
His lower body is very, like... plumpy and muscular. That's what I'll say, because I noticed that too.
When you talked about him, I just thought of the part where he's chained up.
His legs look very muscular. It's like his butt looks, you know, plumpy and bootylicious. Like,
plumpy.
You know. Plumpy.
I don't feel that's a flattering word, but I get it. Well, it looks good in those pants. Those modern pants.
Yeah. Yes, those modern pants with lots of pockets and zippers.
Yes.
But, like, basically what's happening is that Ander is trying to cement an alliance with the gnomes because there's no way that they could do this on their own. But Kale gets in the frickin' way. That lady, she even tells him, like...
Nobody loves Kale.
No.
Boom.
But
no, I do.
She literally tells him, like, you're no king, you're what's left.
I was surprised that she came back. But then again, it seemed too easy when she left the last episode. Yeah. It's like, she came back.
She did come back.
That's how I felt.
Cat came back. Is it Cat came back very next day? Is that how that song goes?
I have no idea.
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
Okay.
So, you know, he wants to also cement this alliance to kind of just... make sure that people know that he's worthy of the throne and that he can really take charge. What ends up happening is that while Commander Tilton is gone, delivering this note, you know, to the gnomes, they imprison him. What?
I was like, so is she going to hook up with them now because their other guy's gone?
I am thinking the same thing. I'm like,
when
okay.
She's like, I can't leave you alone.
No, is this going to be the rise of Anton? I'm trying to ship them in a way and put them into like a celebrity name. Mm-hmm. No kidding. But yeah, so she's gone away, and it's like all of a sudden the army kind of turns against Ander and they imprison him, and Kale's kind of at the lead. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, even though Slanter was like, well, I was going to help them against the demons, you know, not, I didn't want to be part of an elven civil war. They come back, release Ander, who's with his plumpy bottom half hung up in the in that chamber.
It's a nice shirt too.
It's all working. This was a nice looking episode for him. not gonna lie. They come into the council, and you know they're gonna have 5,000 gnomes with them, I believe.
Yes.
And people kind of accept him as king, right? They kind of like embrace it. Finally, you know, swear fealty, like everything. Very
Do the sword up.
Everything. But then, literally, kind of like the last thing that we're left with is everybody watching the Elkreis, and we have the final leaf.
Hashtag the final leash.
Hashtag the
final
leash.
That was like the most intense moment for me. I'm just watching it and they're all holding the candle, just staring.
See, that's what
it.
I thought the Amberlynn thing would happen, because I'm like, this would be epic. Oh, it didn't happen. Just kidding.
It's, you know, it's a very intense moment, because that literally means like, okay, the Elkreis is dead. And then what we see afterward is that the Dagnamur and the demons are free to go. Literally.
Yeah.
There's no reason for them to stay back.
Blackfire is going to rain down on their camp of soldiers. There you go.
Okay. Okay. We'll get into predictions
prediction,
for
but
a
not
second.
Really. Just a visual.
But this was a very, very cool episode for Andor, just because I feel like we have a king. We really do right now. And I feel like he's really just gotten into that role.
Stop drinking.
Yes. Don't drink. We root for him.
Yes.
And yes. So
moderation.
In moderation. Yeah. You can drink in moderation. Exactly. Yeah. In moderation. And don't ride any horses after the drinking. Please.
Yes.
Keep yourself safe. but yeah, so that's kind of where we leave our peeps. Is there anything else about Andor and his people that you guys want to talk about?
It leads into predictions, but I totally had the visual or idea that I'm like, wait, is he gonna get back with her now? Because her man's gone.
Well, how about kind of to segue, and so that we can start talking about that if you want. We're gonna do some predictions.
This is our weird music. We do it
for those of you on iTunes. We do a little dance every time the predictions
because there's lights
comes out. Yeah,
it's like woo. Well, you hear the sound, but there's lights.
Yeah, there's lights in here. All right, so Carrie, do you want to kind of take it off with that?
Sure. I think Andor and the captain are going to get back together because there's kind of they were together before, and her man's gone. Mm-hmm. We don't need her to stay single forever. So
No one has to know either.
What are you talking about, Veronica? Everybody needs to know.
No, not that. No one has to know that they were together before. Because
I don't think anybody knew. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
They can keep it a secret now.
Then I think Amberlynn is not dead. No way.
You mean Eritrea?
Amberlynn, too.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, Amberlynn. In the fire. She'll come back in some epic. It's going to be epic. I don't know how, but she'll come back in some epic way. Hopefully, that Bloodfire is going to come and destroy part of the army. Maybe that's going to be part of the weapon, because they did talk about how powerful it is. So there you go. I'm making a broad prediction of that Bloodfire is going to come and somehow be important for the battle.
Okay.
Eritrea is dead, but will bring her back with the stones or some sort of magic.
Ooh, I like that.
I like that, too.
I like that. Okay, cool.
Oh, I don't think that one. You hit all my predictions right on point. Everything's same. No.
Ditto and moving on. No kidding.
I think that, based off of kind of what we were seeing in the next week's episode, the whole war with the demons and everything, I think that someone is going to die. I just don't know who yet in that war. And I don't know who I would protect, but I hope it's not the king, because I'm excited for him. You know, we finally have a king that's at peace with the trolls, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know how Amberlynn's going to come back. You have a good point there. But, and then also, I think that Eritrea is probably just passed out. She's probably going to wake up. I think he's probably going to, kiss her and admit, maybe he'll say that he, loves her instead, and then she'll wake up, but.
Veronica.
I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there.
That's pretty crazy. How helpless romantic. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, Al-Anon can die and he'll come back.
Yeah, that's true. Al-Anon is, he's a regenerator.
Can go to his super cave.
To his super druid sleep stuff.
Yes.
Really quickly, I think, Andor and Tilton would definitely be, an item. And then we're going to see the Dagnamur face off with Al-Anon. And I don't want to say that Dagnamur is going to die in the season finale, because I just don't think that's the end of it. But, I mean, it is possible. I really, really, really hope that Al-Anon does not die. And I think Eritrea is dead. 100%. I think she's donezo. But we'll see next week. Anyway, ladies, where can everybody find you on social media?
Yes, hello. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane, and that's Carrie, K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
You can find me at Veronica on TV on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can find me, Maria Cavasuto, on Twitter and Instagram at Maria Cavasuto, and then on Snapchat at MGCVSST. Please, please, please like our YouTube.
Comment, thumbs up.
Comment, thumbs up, whatever you guys want. Talk to us about it. We like to hear what you guys think. Maybe you guys had an idea that we didn't, and we'd love to hear about it.
Yes.
Please tweet at us and follow and subscribe to AfterBuzz TV on YouTube and also on Twitter. And, we have a bunch of other shows that you can check out. You know, we have literally everything across the board. Some shows starting soon. And, please, please, please don't forget to thumbs up and give us some good ratings on iTunes. And we will be back next week, same time, for
the finale.
Season finale.
Woo!
Woo! See you next week, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.